Churches and preachers are like water. And water comes in four main ways. A flavor you enjoy, which this is Mountain Dew, so this is the best flavor of water that I know. Water is the first ingredient. So a flavor you enjoy, a flavor that maybe you don't enjoy, water that should be filtered, and then poison water. I want you to think about these for a second each. Okay, so flavored water, right, you can enjoy this, you can drink it. Like, that's good, it's healthy, it's great. You need water, so go for it. Drink as much as you can. Flavor that you don't like. Well, you don't have to drink it. You don't like it personally, but you shouldn't stop other people from drinking it. Just let them drink it, let them have it. Now, there is some water that should be filtered, and actually, when I was in India a few years ago, I had bought this special water filter that is like a UV light, because I don't know if you know this or not, but they say India's water is like the worst water in the world. And so when we were going there, the people preparing us said, don't drink it, don't smell it, don't brush your teeth with it. You'll be sick for days, even if you brush your teeth with it. And so I bought this water filter on Amazon, and I called the company. I'm like, I'm going to India. Are you sure? It's just a light. And I just stick it in the water and swirl it for 60 seconds. And he's like, and you can drink it. I'm like, you promise? He's like, yes. So I go there, and I stick this the very first night. I stick it in the water, and I swirl it around for 60 seconds, twice. I'm a little nervous. I'm just like, if I'm going to get sick, we're going to do this right out the gate. And I drank it, and I was totally fine. So I drank Indian water the whole trip, because that water was dirty, but it was able to be cleaned. But then there's poison water. And you should never drink. You should beware of it. You shouldn't tolerate it. You should rebuke anyone trying to sell it. If you see someone who might drink it, you should expose that it's poison so that they don't get caught up in it. Would you agree with me on that? Right? So these different types of water is what we're talking. Obviously, today I'm not talking about water. What are we talking about? We're talking about churches and Christians. You got a sheet of paper in that chair in front of you. Just grab the sheet of paper. And let's write this down. Today, I should walk away from church being able to know the difference between my worship preferences, someone else's worship or church preferences that I don't like, a preacher who should change, and a false preacher or church who should be condemned. Here's what I mean. So this is the 62nd week. Like we've been in this for 62 weeks. We've been in this book of Mark. And over the course of the last 62 weeks, we've had multiple sermons that were like, those Christians are false Christians and they're wicked and they should be condemned. Yikes. But we've also had sermons that were like, don't judge other churches. You can't judge other Christians. We should love them. So like, that's kind of confusing. Which is it? Do you judge them or do you love them? Just let them do it. So today, we're going to try to bring some clarity to that question. We're going to answer that for you. We're not just going to read one paragraph from the book of Mark like we normally do. We're going to bring up many different sections from the entire book and some other parts of the Bible as well. And the big idea here is that maybe you come to Revolution here, right? And so this is the flavor that you enjoy of church. But there's some other churches like you could go to and you're like, oh man, that was not an enjoyable church. I did not like their music. I did not like their preacher, whatever. It's just a flavor you don't like. But there's technically nothing wrong with it. There are brothers and sisters. Now, there are some churches or preachers or Christians, they need to be filtered because they're teaching something wrong or they're doing something wrong, but it can be fixed. But then there's poison water. And these are the false teachers that Jesus condemns. You know what the Bible actually calls the poison water teachers? The Bible calls them wolves. Wolves. And the big idea, I mean, that's a pretty bold thing to call someone, but that's what the Bible calls them. And so the big idea for today, and you're going to want to write this one down as well, don't treat a brother like a wolf, but also don't treat a wolf like a brother. Don't treat a brother like a wolf. Don't treat a wolf like a brother. So what we're saying here is there's so many good churches out there. Don't act like they're wrong just because you don't agree with them on everything. They're not a wolf. They're our brothers and sisters. But there are wolves out there. And these wolves come into the church, and we have to be careful of them. Now, we're going to say this out loud, this phrase here. If you're new, we like to say things out loud because it changes the way our brain hears it so we can learn it better. So let's say this out loud together. Don't treat a brother like a wolf. Don't treat a wolf like a brother. So we're going to go into the Bible to start with Acts chapter 20. And in this Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, or who is talking about, the Apostle Paul is giving a speech or talking to a church in a town called Ephesus. And he says to them, you're never going to see me again. And if you keep reading, you see they all start crying because they're never going to see each other again. Paul told them. And so these are Paul's last words, his very last words. Keep watch over yourselves. We all say the phrase, keep watch. Let's say it. Keep watch. He's talking to the pastors and the leaders in that church. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves, there's the phrase, right? After I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. You and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise. And what are they going to do? They're going to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears, he says. So let's write this down. Here's the summary of what Paul just said. Paul commands pastors and leaders to keep watch for people because savage wolves will come into the church who will not spare the flock. The church is the flock. They will try to get disciples to follow themselves, and it'll be tricky for people to know what's happening, right? This is a savage wolf. And Paul says these types of people are going to come into the church and they're going to act like you and you're going to think they're you. You're going to think they're fine, but they're not. The problem is a lot of people see these savage wolves and they don't recognize them as wolves. And sometimes you point out, and now, is this a savage wolf? No, this is a cute little squishy one, right? So what happens is sometimes people point out, dude, there's a wolf. He's teaching bad things. He's denying Christ. He's making himself rich at the expense of widows. And when someone criticizes the wolf harshly, some people's response is, well, I don't think those guys are good, but you shouldn't be so harsh. They're not savage wolves. They're squishy wolfies. Or what they often say is, they're people too. They're people too. This isn't Jeff Pepo's opinion, this part of the sermon here, right? What did Paul call them? The Apostle Paul called them savage wolves. You know what Jesus called these people? Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. That's what Jesus calls them. Last week, I mentioned Joel Osteen a couple times, who is a false teacher. And someone put a red card in the box. They didn't sign it, but he said, we should make sure Joel Osteen is really being false, or we should repent heavily. I don't mind someone saying that. I mean, that's true. If Joel Osteen's not a false teacher, we should repent for talking trash on him. So I looked up the sermon he preached last week, 7 days ago. Said, what did Joel preach about last Sunday? And he quoted Acts chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 8 is where the apostle Philip is walking down a road. Holy Spirit tells him to go talk to a guy who's reading the scriptures. And the guy said, I don't know what this means. So the apostle Philip quotes and talks about Jesus, tells him how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures and Jesus as Lord. And so this man then gets baptized. And after he baptizes the man, Philip just disappears. The Holy Spirit makes Philip disappear and reappear in another town miles away where Philip starts preaching the good news about Jesus again. So it's an amazing story about preaching and the power of the Holy Spirit and people getting saved. Here's what Joel Osteen said about this.
Imagine what the man thought. Came up out of the water and suddenly Philip is gone. He's disappeared. Verse 40 says, Philip found himself further in the city of Azotus. Azotus was 20 miles from where they were. That defies logic. He's here one moment and the next he's 20 miles away. God has these times where you're going to find yourself further. You can't explain it. Doesn't make sense, but God propels you ahead. May not be 20 miles to another city, but God propels you in your career. Should have taken you years to build your business, but you found yourself further. God opened the doors. He brought the right people, gave you ideas, caused you to stand out. Now you look up and think, how did I get to Azotus, so to speak? It was the God of acceleration. He's going to propel you in your health. We're supposed to take a long time to get well. You'd made up your mind to endure the treatment, to make it through, but God stepped in and sped things up.
Not even close to what Acts chapter 8 was about. Acts chapter 8 is about evangelism. Jesus is Lord. Philip keeps preaching wherever God puts him. It has nothing to do with God's going to advance your business opportunities. There was nothing in Acts chapter 8 about it. That's not even the principle. Can God make you healthy quicker than you expect? Yes. Could God give you a good business opportunity? Yes. Can God allow you to stay sick longer than you want? Yes. Could God have your business closed even though you don't want to? Yes. To suggest that Acts chapter 8 was about those things is a deadly poison. He's saying that sharing the good news about Jesus Christ and miraculously getting transported by the Holy Spirit so that you can continue to share the good news about Jesus Christ in a new town is the same as getting a business contract quicker than you expected. Paul said, you read the verse with me next. Paul said that these men distort the truth. Is that a distortion of the truth, what he said? It absolutely is. In fact, if you go listen to the whole thing, you can do a count. He distorted the truth somewhere between 8 and 18 times in that one sermon. Don't treat a brother like a wolf, but don't treat a wolf like a brother. Do not treat a wolf like a brother. This is important for you today because you've got to be able to recognize the difference between wolves and some churches that just need some help. You got to know the difference between wolves and churches who just have a different flavor than us. We've got to know the difference. You've got to know the difference. So what we're going to do is we're going to look through some different attributes. On your outline, you've got a grid. And that grid is going to show us, we're going to go through a bunch of different verses, and it's going to show us what types of things we can't judge, what types of things we should change, what types of things we have to say, that's a false teacher. So we're going to start with the different flavors. And let's go to, I'm not supposed to go there. It's on Mark 14. It's on this screen. Let's go to the different flavors. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of the Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made out of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head, Jesus' head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." So this lady comes to Jesus with an alabaster. This is alabaster. If you're here last week, you would have studied this with us. And she pours this perfume on Jesus. Not just a few drops. She breaks it open and pours the whole thing. It was worth more than a year's wages. So this is probably $40,000 worth of perfume. $40,000. And Jesus is accepting this. And there's other people going, "Whoa, stop. What are you doing? That's too much money." Because that perfume could have changed so much. Like, it could have provided medical treatment if they sold it for a lot of people. It could have paid for someone's house who couldn't pay their mortgage payments. But Jesus says, what she is doing is a good thing. Beauty and money, for Christ's sake, is never a waste, no matter how much you spend. Taking joy in Jesus is actually the most important thing for us. Even if you don't agree with how a church is spending their money, if they're doing it to honor Christ, we can't complain about them. It might not be the flavor that we would choose, but it's still okay to do. Let's write this down on the grid. Worship preferences. So Christians or preachers, I should not criticize, I should not get upset about. This would be, I can't get upset about how other churches spend their money to worship and honor Jesus. You can't get upset about that. Did you guys know Joel Osteen's church cost $100 million to build? Now listen. We can criticize Joel Osteen for the misuse of the Bible, but we can't criticize him because he has an expensive church building. Because anyone who's doing something to honor Christ, if that's what he was doing, and I don't know, but if he's doing it to honor Christ, I can't critique that. Because we don't get to choose how other churches spend their money. In a similar story, the lady Mary who poured the perfume on Jesus, she was sitting with Jesus one time, listening to Jesus talk, and her sister Martha is in the kitchen, and Martha's working and cooking for everybody. Martha was trying to serve God by doing stuff. Mary was trying to learn and serve God by listening to him. Martha comes over to Mary and says, "You're not working. Jesus, tell her to do the work." And Jesus says, "Martha, Mary's doing fine. Mary's chosen what's better, actually." But Jesus doesn't say Martha's wrong for serving him that way. He didn't say that Mary's wrong either. And this leads us to another conclusion, another type of church or Christian that we can't criticize. And that's how other churches or Christians choose to serve and spend their time and effort. Other Christians are going to do things differently. Some churches do giant, big overseas mission trips. Some churches focus on helping people in their own neighborhood. And we can't say, "Well, that church is bad because they didn't do it the way that we would have done it." Okay, I'll give you an example. Please don't get mad at me, okay? There's this program called Operation Christmas Child. I don't like it. I have reasons why I don't like it. We don't do it here. Some churches love it. And you've never heard me complain about another church doing Operation Christmas Child. And I'm not going to stand on stage here and say, they shouldn't be doing it. Why? Because these are worship preferences. It's just a different flavor. I've got reasoning why I don't like this flavor, but I'm going to let them serve God how they see fit. Does that make sense? All right, they're not actually doing it wrong. Let's look at another example. And this one's kind of a weird example, okay? So this comes from the book of Philippians. The guy who wrote Philippians, his name was Paul, okay? So Paul is writing, and he says, "It's true that some preach Christ," so we're talking about preachers, "some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry." Some preach out of rivalry. "Others out of goodwill." So there's two different motives for preaching there. "The latter," so he's talking about the people who preach out of goodwill, "they do so with love, knowing that I am put here," and Paul's in jail, "I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former, he's talking about people who preach with rivalry, "they preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains." So here we have two different types of preachers. One who preaches with goodwill and one who preaches from rivalry. There were literally preachers during Paul's time. Paul's in jail, and these preachers, they did not like Paul. And so while Paul was in jail, they knew, if I preach louder right now, Paul's going to have a harder time. And so they preached louder and more aggressively so that Paul would get into more trouble. They didn't like Paul. Paul says, they're stirring up trouble for me. But then Paul says the craziest thing, because I would think that's poison water, right? If I'm being persecuted, if someone puts me in jail because I'm a preacher, and then other preachers are like, "Oh, bet Jeff's in jail. Let's make a lot of noise so he gets in trouble." I'd be like, "That's terrible. They're wolves." But that's not what Paul says. Look at what he says. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. He's happy about it. Listen, you got to understand something about these preachers who were trying to cause problems for Paul. They were actually preaching the truth. When they preached, they weren't preaching Joel Osteen stuff. They were preaching true things. They just were doing it because they knew it would cause problems for Paul. They had a rivalry. They didn't like each other. And so Paul goes, "I don't even care. Because as long as Christ is preached the right way, these guys aren't taking advantage of widows. They're not hurting poor people. They're preaching the truth. So this is in the category of things that probably need to change because they're not acting with love. But we could help them. They're not false teachers. So let's go ahead and write this down on your grid. Churches, Christians, or preachers that they need to change, but I can help or I can hope that they change. Preachers who have bad motives like rivalries, but are preaching the right thing and they aren't taking advantage of people." All right, so there's enough Bible verses to know. I think all of us would agree that we're supposed to love each other, right? As Christians, right? We're supposed to love each other. So if we can help someone love another church when they're not loving another church, like that would be good. But these are not the type of people that we condemn loudly because they're technically teaching the right stuff, even if they didn't like it. And they don't like Paul. But who cares? So this would be another thing we add to our chart, okay? Another one that we can change or hope they change would be places that don't like us. Places that don't like our church, but otherwise teach the truth, right? People who don't like us. They're not false teachers just because they don't like us. A lot of people won't like us. Actually, we do these Facebook ads and Instagram ads. Maybe you've seen some of them. Some of our ads get a lot of comments on them. Well, this one guy made this comment. He just said three words. Like, it's like an ad. Revolution Church, come join us. He just comments, Church of Felons. He's trying to be mean, but he's not entirely wrong. So who cares? You're like, Carrie, who, you know, she's on staff. She manages our social media. She handles this so much better, right? Like, if I got on there, I'd want to be like, oh, Church of Felons, huh? Well, guess what, buddy? You know, I'd be like, let's talk. And Carrie joins in there, and she's like, yep, and we'd love to have you too. It's like, okay. Right. I mean, maybe we can hope he changes. Hopefully he likes us one day, but like, who really cares? We do probably have, on average, more felons per person in church than any other church in Salina. I think that's cool. Because God changes people, amen? Amen? God changes people. That's proof that God is at work. So you can call us a church of felons, and we won't even get mad about it. Let's look at another example. So this is Mark 12. As he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. There's that phrase again, watch out. Will you all say watch out with me? Say it. Watch out. Who are we watching out for? The teachers of the law. They like to be walking around in flowing robes, be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They like to have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely, is what Jesus said. So that the first word there, Jesus says, watch out for them. They like to be greeted in the marketplace. They want to be having important seats. They want to make themselves rich. They'll even devour widows' homes. They'll steal people's homes or take advantage of people to get themselves more money. And Jesus says they're going to be punished. What was it?
Severely.
Most severely. So according to Jesus, not me, according to Jesus, they'll receive the most severe punishment. These men are condemned. These men are not saved. And that's not my opinion. Jesus said it. This is important because these people will be inside a church, but not every preacher is even a real Christian. These men will be punished most severely. So this is in the category of things that we have to condemn. Let's go to your outlines. The false churches, false preachers that should be condemned. Preachers who have fame, fortune, or followers as a motive, especially if they take advantage of people like widows. Okay, this is the poisoned water. Do not drink. Now, Jesus, you don't get stronger words from Jesus about anyone than they're going to be punished most severely. And if Jesus himself says, watch out for them, they're going to hell, they're literally the worst. If Jesus says that stuff about them, you better not give them a pass because you want to be a nice person. Could you imagine? You see a guy with a gun. It's like 3 in the morning. You wake up. See a guy with a gun climbing into your neighbor's window on the side of their house. And you know this is the window that leads to the bedroom where the 3-year-old little girl sleeps. And he's crawling in there with a gun at 3 in the morning. What are you going to do? During first service, I said, what are you going to do? And a guy goes, catch another felony. You're not going to be like, well, I don't want to be rude. I'm supposed to love all people. No! You're going to scream. You're going to shout. Maybe you're going to fight the guy. Some of y'all are going to start blasting. Because lives are on the line. And it is no different with these sort of preachers. They take advantage of people and they are killers. Spiritual killers who would lead people to hell with them. They might not even know they're going to hell, but they would take people with them. Now we're going to talk about 2 Peter chapter 2. And 2 Peter chapter 2, we're not going to read the whole thing. You can look it up, 2 Peter chapter 2 if you want. But it says that some of these false preachers, they make up stories. So you're listening to them and it's like, wow, they had this amazing story. You want to hear what comes next. You want to hear how God worked. He says, but they teach destructive heresies. They teach things in really convincing ways. Why is it really convincing? Because they make it up. They make up stories, they make up lies, they make you believe they're telling the truth, and then they make up interpretations of the Bible. You can't listen to that stuff. So here's another warning of preachers who should be condemned. Preachers who make up stories and teach destructive things. Things that distort the reality of who Jesus is compared to us. So some preachers will be like, well, Jesus is good, but they'll try to bring Jesus down. Or some preachers will be like, well, you're like a little God. We'll try to bring you up. Another example of someone who makes up stories would be these people who write books about dying and going to heaven and then coming back. The Bible says it is appointed man to die once and after that face judgment. Nobody dies, goes to heaven, and then comes back and gets a book contract legitimately. That doesn't happen. Or preachers who make up stories of doing miracles. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe miracles happen. I believe God can use, God might say to you, go pray for that person that'll be healed. And you pray and the person gets healed. That can happen. But if you see a person who consistently is telling stories about, oh, God used me to heal this and God used me to heal that, little red flag should go up and be like, I don't know if I should believe everything this guy's saying. I gotta check into this. Right? We don't want to treat a brother like he's a wolf, but you don't want to treat a wolf like a brother. Another verse is Galatians 1. Some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. We're going to talk about what that means, to pervert the gospel. But even if we, the Apostle Paul wrote that, even if we, or even if an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let them be under God's curse. So changing the gospel is the big thing here. The gospel is the good news that Jesus is going to save you from your sin. Right? Gospel literally means good news. So if someone changes the gospel message, let them be under God's curse. Note, Paul doesn't say, if someone changes the gospel, gently correct them. That's not what he said, is it? He said, if an angel comes down, and you're like, an angel, oh my gosh, and the angel shares a different gospel, you need to go, you're under God's curse. There's other religions that started because the founder thought he saw an angel coming down from heaven, and the angel changed the gospel story into a different story. That man shouldn't have gone, okay, I'm going to write this down and start a new religion. That man should have gone, you are under God's curse. You cannot change the gospel. So here's another for our grid. False teachers that should be condemned. Preachers who change the actual gospel message. Let me be really clear with you on what the gospel is. This is the good news. You're a sinner. You've been excluded from the kingdom of God because of that. Jesus Christ came to save you so that you can be included in the kingdom of God. He died on the cross for your salvation, and he rose from the dead. And if you believe that and confess that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's the gospel. Some other Bible verses say it like, repent and be baptized for the salvation of your soul. Right? That's the gospel. That if you believe in Jesus, you'll get baptized like the people did today. You'll turn away from the fruitless deeds and you'll come to Jesus Christ believing that he's the one who forgives you. If anyone here knows that Jesus is Lord, but you've never made the decision to say, I am going to follow him. I'm going to accept that he's king. I'm going to get baptized and become a true follower of Jesus. You're probably not saved. You need to obey Christ. You need to get baptized and believe in the name of Jesus. You can do that today. If you want to get baptized, you can start the process. On those red cards we have in the chair, that's right in front of you. Just pull one of those out. Mark on the back, you're ready to get baptized. And Carrie, who was so gracious on that comment where the guy called us all felons, she'll call you too. She won't call you a felon. She'll just call you and talk to you and see where you're at with God and work with you about whether do you get baptized or not. But some people change the gospel. God wants you to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. God wants you to have everything and everything to go well for you. And that's a false gospel because you're not leading people to Jesus. You're leading people to like worldly stuff. So that is under God's curse. And those people, this is what 2 John says in the Bible. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this good teaching, the true gospel, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. You do not bring wolves into your home. We don't do that. We don't let them preach here and see how it's going to go. No, we say that is poison. So what I'm going to do for just a minute And I need everybody in here to understand this. Even if you're sleeping right now, I need you to wake up and understand what I'm about to do, because I don't want you to, in 30 seconds, wake up and be like, what is happening? I'm going to preach a false gospel for just 1 second, okay? To be clear, I don't believe what I'm about to say. I just want to say it so you can hear it. The next time you hear a preacher talking like this, I want warning bells to be going off in your head. Y'all got me? Just nod if you got that, right? So I'm about to say something that's not actually true, but some false teachers say this stuff. And I'll tell you at the end, I'm done now, okay? Friends, I came to tell you today that God does not want you broke or sick or struggling or suffering. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So if you belong to God, poverty is not your portion. Sickness is not your story. Struggle is not going to be your season. Jesus died so that you could live your best life now. He became poor so you could become rich. And the prophet Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed. So if you're still sick, you need to activate your faith. You activate it by sowing a seed. What you're doing is naming your harvest. You're going to speak your breakthrough. You're going to speak it out loud, because when you speak the word of God, it activates. Your miracle is waiting on your obedience. God wants you to prosper and to be healthy. God wants you promoted and favored and upgraded and debt-free and stress-free. If you believe and declare it, then heaven will release it. Okay, I am so done, okay? I'm done. Now, that sounds really good. And when you hear it, a lot of times, I'm not as good at it as the other guys. I don't really practice that much. But a lot of times, I'll hear a preacher saying stuff like that, and like I hear, and it like warms my heart up. I'm like, yes, I need to activate my faith. But it's actually a false gospel. Because what does the gospel do? It turns you away from your sin and towards Jesus. What does the gospel, the false gospel that I just preached, do? It turns you towards worldly things like promotions and health and wealth, and it doesn't turn you toward Jesus. It doesn't even necessarily turn you away from your sin. That's a false gospel. Now, we need to be careful, because some preachers will say things in a way that we didn't expect, and just because they word things differently than us doesn't mean that they're a false teacher, right? They can word things differently and still be okay, some of them. So let's write this down too. Worship preferences that I should not criticize, okay? Do not criticize. Preachers who teach things in ways different than I expect, or things that are different than I like, but aren't actually committing heresy. There's many orthodox interpretations. What's orthodox mean? Orthodox is, there's this thing called the pale of orthodox, and it's like, if you were to put all Christian beliefs that are possible into a box, that's the pale of orthodoxy. So an example would be, I think the universe is billions of years old. Some other Christians think the world's only 6,000 years old. Those are different teachings, but neither one of them's a heresy. They're both orthodox. We can believe those things, and we can disagree with the other people. We can't treat a brother like a wolf. One problem we have in Christianity is we fight so hard about things that don't even matter. Well, I think the universe is billions. Well, I think it's only 6,000. And we're ignoring Joel Osteen. For the sake of time, let me just throw another thing on the screen. Okay, so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, you can look this up on your own if you want. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible calls some people out by name who are false teachers. And they point out some really destructive teachings. And here it is. You can write this one down. Preachers who should be condemned. They consistently distort essential Christian doctrine. What's essential Christian doctrine? Well, it's essential. That means you got to have it. These are really important beliefs. Things like the resurrection of Jesus, the Trinity, the nature of God. Or if they're consistently teaching the Bible incorrect, consistently. So if someone's consistently teaching the Bible wrong, or if they've got the Trinity wrong, then we have to condemn it. If they cannot teach essential Christian doctrine, we have to condemn that. And we don't have time to go into what all the essential Christian doctrines are, but God's all-powerful, I'll tell you that. God's all-knowing. God's eternal. There's these things called the omnis. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. There's a bunch of them. So if someone says something that basically means God's not all-powerful, condemn that. If someone says something that basically means God doesn't know everything, condemn that. If someone teaches the Trinity about God, they think, well, it's just God appearing in three different ways. Condemn that. And you don't necessarily know everything there is to know about the Trinity. And we do want to be careful, but we also want to condemn someone just because they make a little mistake. If they're consistently making mistakes about essential Christian doctrine, that's a problem. But we should not condemn. We should help maybe change these people if they make mistakes in wording, periodic errors, temporary lapses in judgment, or occasionally misinterpreting something, right? So this would be like the dirty water. Everybody makes mistakes periodically. Would you agree with me on that? Everybody does. I mean, you and I are both going to make mistakes at some time. So if someone makes a little mistake in their wording or periodic error, we shouldn't condemn those people. It's one thing that I hate that goes on in our United States right now is someone will give like an hour-long speech and they'll stumble over their words in one sentence. And what part gets posted to YouTube? Right? That one little mistake they made when that was not even the point of the whole thing. Let's not do that to other churches. Okay, if they make a mistake and they say something that's wrong, let's correct them or hope they get corrected, but let's not condemn them. But consistent false teaching must be condemned. So now the question, we're going to do some practical application. Let me jump over here and see what questions we got out of the way. Someone says, I have to be honest, what Joel Osteen is doing is heartbreaking. What was more heartbreaking in that moment is the congregation laughing. It's not a laughing moment. It actually really sucks. So sometimes I will laugh at what Joel Osteen says because sometimes what he says is laughable. I mean, how many of you have ever done something really stupid and looked back at it like 10 years later and laughed about it, right? Sometimes you can laugh at things that are really dumb. I wouldn't suggest that it's always wrong to laugh at what he's saying. But what we shouldn't laugh at, it was when the camera pans off of Joel Osteen and on to the thousands of people, we can't laugh at them because they are victims. And that is sad. Well, I don't know. The Bible might not even call them victims. And the Bible actually says in one spot, in the later days, people will gather around them a large number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So the Bible actually suggests that a lot of people go to those types of preachers because they don't want to hear the truth. They want to act like they're godly, and so they'll find a preacher who says things that will sound like that. If God decides to make us sick, is it showing us or telling us to stop and look at the reality of all that we've done wrong? So Scripture does say that we should endure hardship as discipline. Okay, that's a Bible verse. Endure hardship as discipline. So anytime you go through a hardship, financial, or your kids are hurt, or you're sick, endure it, go through it as though God is disciplining you. What it doesn't say is endure it because God is disciplining you. There's a difference there. It says, I should endure it. I should go, okay, God, if there's anything that I'm supposed to learn from this, if there's anything you want to change in me, I don't want to be suffering if I don't have to, so help me to know what it is and change me. But it doesn't mean that every time something bad happens, it's God punishing you. Bad things can also happen because we live in a fallen world, and sometimes people just get sick. That just happens. Another reason bad things happen to you is because you're stupid and do bad things. Right? Like, I ran a stop sign and got a ticket. Okay, that's not God punishing me. That's me being stupid, right? And so bad things can happen for all sorts of reasons, but when they do, we should say, okay, God, are you trying to teach me something here? The truth isn't always nice. Should we be skeptical of fluffy, positive pastors? Okay, so I think this is kind of hard. A lot of positive pastors, or maybe a different flavor. There's a pastor that I listen to, Chuck Colson, and every time I listen to him, I'm like, oh, God loves me. Like, it's just so good. I walk away from his sermons feeling like God really loves me. And I wish I could be more like that, because very few people walk away from a Jeff Pepo sermon going, that felt nice. I wish I could be more like that, but it's just not. And so there's nothing wrong with being positive. If someone's fluffy, I might suggest maybe they need to change a little bit. But these are probably flavors that we don't like, or maybe something needs to change. But being positive isn't poison. How they give the positivity might be poison, right? God wants you wealthy, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, well, if they're misquoting Bible verses to make you feel happy, that's poison. Okay, that's poison. Can I put a disclaimer online for when you're using false doctrine as an illustration? Yeah, the video people, please put a disclaimer on there. That'd be great. Is this why Jesus overturned the tables in the temple? How mad should we get? This is partly why Jesus overturned tables in the temple. And so it should bother us deeply that there's false teachers. However, and people taking advantage of poor people. However, I would point out that Jesus is God on earth. So just because Jesus had the authority to go in someone else's temple and start kicking tables over doesn't mean you or me have the authority to go into the church down the street and be like, listen up, Joel. Right? We don't have the authority to do that. We can tell people what's wrong, but we can't do that. Is it our job as Christians to expose major figures like Joel, Scientology, or should we wait for God's interference? Yes. Well, when we get into the practical application, actually, let's just do this. I'll come back to this, but let's just do the first practical application right now. Because I put some Bible verses on here. We're not going to read them all because we don't have time tonight, but you can please look these up. Look these Bible verses up so you can see for yourself. When dealing with wolves, these are the really bad ones, beware of them is what the Bible says, first of all. Beware of them. Second thing, you got to test them. You should test everybody, but especially them. Third, you do not tolerate it. Do not tolerate it. Then fourth and fifth, you refute and rebuke them. And then sixth, we're supposed to, here's the answer to that question, expose them. Expose them. Don't treat a brother like a wolf, but do not treat a wolf like a brother. So when we're dealing with someone like Kenneth Copeland or Joel Osteen, that's why I'm so hard on these guys. We have to say poison water. Do not drink this. What does the Bible say we have to do? It says beware of poison water. Beware of these preachers. Test it. Don't tolerate it. Refute it. What does refute mean? Refute means prove what they said is wrong. Rebuke, the Bible says. Rebuke means to say out loud that they're wrong, not just in your head. And expose means you show people how wrong they are. You have to expose this. The Bible says we have to expose people like this. And if we aren't doing it, then we are the ones disobeying God. We have to expose it. All right, other questions? I don't know what's worse, Joel Osteen or you preaching like Joel Osteen. I'm gonna go shower when I get home. My mom used to wash my mouth. That was soap. Maybe I should do that. Someone says, and there was evening and morning the first day. It doesn't leave room for billions of years. So see what we got going on here? We're talking about there's things that we can just disagree with each other on, but Christians love to fight about this stuff, and Christians love to fight about this stuff. I actually have taught classes on this. We can go through the Hebrew words. We can go through all the different reasons why I think it allows for billions of years. But we're not going to get into that today. Today is about, this is the sort of thing that we don't fight angrily about. This is the sort of thing that Christians can disagree about. All right, let's go to the next practical application. So we're not talking about wolves anymore. We're talking about when dealing with people who are wrong, but not wolves. Okay, so they're wrong, but they're not a wolf. The Bible says, according to these verses right here, we should restore them gently. Okay, untamed mercy. We gotta love them and be gentle by trying to change them. We should bring them back if we can. And we should teach them the right way. So the goal here is to filter the water. Untamed mercy. We talk about that here, right? We have lots of forgiveness for people. Heck, we probably all need our water filtered at some point, right? Because we all have unbiblical ideas about God. But here's an interesting take about someone who needs to be changed. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Paul's talking. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, well, that too God will make clear to you. I love this verse. What's he saying? He's like, if you're mature, you will believe what I just said. And if you don't believe it, God will fix it in you at some point. I love this. We're going to add to our outline right here. Look at this. So we're going to add to this, and we're going to say, and sometimes just let God deal with it. So there's some dirty water out there that you don't actually have to be responsible to fix. The church downtown is teaching something that we don't like. Yeah, maybe they're wrong. We don't have to be the police of every church in the entire world. Isn't that nice? We're just going to let God deal with that. All right, we're just going to let God deal with that. Now, there is another practical application here. Some YouTubers who can be helpful with this, because you want to know how to figure this out for yourself. And some YouTubers who can be helpful with knowing who the false teachers are is Mike Winger. He's one of them. Hey, by the way, are you guys happy I gave you YouTube channels today instead of more books to read? Isn't that good? All right. Mike Winger is a good YouTube channel. Now, this guy, he has like three-hour-long videos about a short topic. And so he goes into depth. And right now, he's been exposing some false churches. There's a lot of places out there that expose false teachers who are just, everybody's a false teacher except their mommy. It's like insane. Some of these guys are so mad. But Mike Winger's like really rational, calm. He's intelligent. He's good. There's another guy called The Holy Nope. I don't know if any of you ever found this guy. He is hilarious. What he does is he has these 60-second long reels. And it's like he walks in, like he's got his Bible going to church. And he sits down in church. He's like, I'm ready to learn. And then it shows a clip of a false preacher. And he just kind of reacts to it. They're so funny. I messaged him this week. I was like, dude, can I use this video of yours? And he was like, absolutely. So check it out.
It's the Lord's day. I got my Bible. I'm ready to hear the word.
The reason why you can heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons is because of who you are. Jesus didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Well, only God can heal the sick. That's why he said, be imitators of God. Listen, I can't heal the sick. Only God can heal the sick. That's right. You are sons of God. In fact, Jesus quoted the psalmist when he said, you are gods, and the word gods is little g. Ye is big G, and you are little g. You're little g God.
That's so good. That's so good. So you can check him out. Another guy is Dr. Frank Turek, who's just amazing, and Greg Kugel. These guys are apologists, which is, they defend Christianity. They'll help you know logical reasons why Christianity is true, as well as point out some false teachings. Now, some of these guys believe things that I don't, right? They've got a different flavor of Christianity. Like, some of them are Calvinists. I'm not a Calvinist, but it's not false teaching. And so I don't think that everything they say is what I would say, but they're still really good guys, and it's worth following them on YouTube. All right, final practical application today. The number one thing I can do to help discern between wolves and others is to study the Bible for myself. You've got to be studying the Bible. You got to read it and know it. You got to study it in context. I'm going to say you got to study the Bible, and you're going to say in context, okay? You got to study the Bible in context. That's right. You got to, so you can actually download a sheet. Okay, my website, jeffhuber.com, you can download a sheet there that has what we call the CRACT acronym. Helps you know how to interpret the Bible the right way. It talks about context. It's a really short sheet. Context talks about praying before you read the Bible. Talks about knowing what type of language is being used. You got to study the Bible for yourself. Go start reading the book of Mark or the book of James. You got to know the Bible for yourself so that these false teachers won't get you off track. I'm glad you're here today to hear this message. When you go, just remember, don't treat a brother like a wolf, but don't treat a wolf like a brother. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll be with us and be with each person who heard this today, that you would help us to be discerning the truth from error. I pray you give us graciousness to other churches and Christians who just have a different flavor than us, but help us to be able to test and rebuke and expose false teachers well. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go do it.